The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello there, and welcome to the Hosts of Westworld, a fan critical podcast. Today we're covering the season finale of Westworld, Crisis Theory. So once again, and for the final time this season, maybe ever, to be honest, when it comes to Westworld, but
not ever.
Don't say that.
Wow, you know, I am joined by my fellow 3 Minute Men. So hello Len.
Hello there John. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. All right, well, we're not doing that pod. So.
Okay.
And and Gaz, how's it going, buddy?
Hey mate. Yeah, I'm good. I was going to say Maeve the 4th be with you.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Good.
Oh.
It's good that.
So. Yeah.
There you go.
Built there upon you what you've said, Len, so.
Yeah, it's shit though, isn't it?
Already taking the lead.
Good. Anyway, so you both sound like you're buzzing, which is good, because someone needs to be.
Yeah, you come into me now on the back of another ragu down. Just made another one.
Okay.
So that's just good. So I feel very full and hearty, actually, John. Mm. And I've just seen Westworld, so
good.
Ready to go, ready to die.
Awesome.
And I'm buzzing to hear your guys' thoughts on it, to be honest with you, because I think they're going to be very interesting.
if we're doing dinner reports, I had a beef madras. It was lovely.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yep. It's good. Morning here lovely. For me, so I can tell you what I had yesterday.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I had a
beef madras.
No, I had an 8-hour slow cooked beef stew. So.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, lovely.
What's good? Well,
good thing is you can have leftovers for breakfast the next day.
Hammered it all.
Stewy leftovers.
Absolutely battered it.
Oh, nice.
Good lad. Anyway, so...
good lad. Absolutely don't bat lad. Your stew.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, imagine that. So this is a long episode to recap. So let's just go right into our scores. Gaz, lead us off, mate. Blueberry it. Talk to me.
All right, blueberry system, 0 to 5 blueberries. all right.
It's getting shorter week by week.
No halves.
Short and sweet like Gareth. Right, continue.
Good.
Or a blueberry, in a way.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm gonna start off my sort of brief summary with a few questions.
Oh, God. Yeah. are they rhetorical or can we answer them?
Don't answer them.
Okay, so they're rhetorical then. Okay, good.
These are questions that I had as we went through, as we watched this episode. Why? They all start with why. Why?
Philosophical.
Why do we need to see Dolores and Maeve fighting again? It really doesn't matter.
Why does
Dolores now want to save humanity? Why is William in this? Why are Bernard and Stubbs in this? And I think the answer to those questions is, I don't know. Mm. I don't know the answer to any of them. And I think it sums it up, really. As a season, you know, this has been great aesthetically. And that's about it now. Why is there more backstory to Caleb in the last 2 minutes? Annoying. There's too much plot throughout this entire thing and this entire episode. and I was lost and I was bored, and I realised that all of my fears came true. I had fears coming into this season that I expressed. I said, you know, you take a focused story, something that's tight and within the constraints of geography, right? Mm. And it works. But you remove that geography and it doesn't work. You take it into the open world and it loses its point. And that's what's happened here. It's got lost in trying to justify its own relevance. And for me, this episode was more of the same. More disappointment, more frustration, and more boredom. But some things looked quite pretty, so it's getting two blueberries.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, makes sense. More of the same. Now, Len goes second because, you know, if you're having a sandwich, you go, oh, this bread's a bit stale, but look, let's have a lovely bit of ham. Lovely bit of ham and nothing better than
I
that.
I do like ham. So, love ham.
Yeah, lovely bit of ham.
Lovely.
Bread, ham, bread.
Yeah, so I'm the ham and you're the bread. Yeah. That's good. Okay, so me and Gaz have actually been throwing it back this week, and we've gone retro, and we've been playing the new Streets of Rage, Streets of Rage 4.
Very good,
and it's very good, Gareth. So, and what if anyone wants to play it, it's brilliant. And I saw this episode a bit like that game, Gareth. Dolores and Caleb, they're like a little duo, like we are, fighting. And they fight their way through the LA streets against a lot of different enemy types. You know, you've got your riot cops, you've got different hosts in Maeve.
Just to interrupt you for a second, yeah. I had the exact same thought when I saw the riot cops. I was like, oh my God, 100%. Streets of Rage flashbacks. That's why I got these two bloobs.
Yeah, so you got riot droids, padded up super soldiers working for Serac. You know, then you got the final boss of like Serac and Rehobaum in the background, you know. And it's just very, it was very sort of 80s street brawler, the whole thing. But I'll tell you what, I actually did enjoy the episode. yes, there are things that they've done this season that I can't legislate for. I think William's character is an absolute shambles after watching this episode and the post-credit scene. I mean, I can't believe
it. What did I tell
you,
man?
I can't believe
it. What did I say
it.
Last week? I was like, they should have killed him off.
Yeah, well, let me... Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm so disappointed with that segment of the episode. However, there's a lot of things that I liked, and I'm going to sum them up now. I like the Dolores... robot body scene is fantastic. Wow, that is
always that about is that with great, you,
yeah. that is some great special effects in there, and I actually really enjoyed the scene. The Bernard Benyade backstory stuff and the reveal that his backstory is true, loved it. Loved that. That was back to being Westworld when it had some emotion. The Dolores death actually got me a bit. Actually. I don't know what it was about it. I think the way they handled it was pretty good. And, you know, it's left us thinking about what the hell is this show going to look like in season four? It's insane. And it's kind of, I don't want to say I'm falling for the same trap because I did it with season two. I was like, when I got to the end of season two and it was a bit disappointing, I was kind of like, oh, but now it's the show I've always wanted. It's like robots and Blade Runner in the future. And we kind of got that, but not really.
Definitely not.
And now I'm kind of like, I've written in my notes here, like, it could be Mad Max meets, like, Terminator Salvation kind of world. And I'm really in the mood for that, but I just don't think they're going to handle it very well. I'm going to give the episode four blooms because I actually enjoyed it.
Of course.
I enjoyed it. I promise you, I sat here and was actually on the edge of my seat for a bit of it. But what I will say is... they really, overall, they let me down this season. They did let me down. Like, it's not, it's an average season of television, in my opinion. It's nothing that I will ever remember or choose to go back and watch again, you know? But, you know, this episode alone, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the episode. Some of the stuff in this episode is cool. And when we go through it, I'd like to talk about it more in depth. But yeah, four for me. I am excited for next season, but the problem is I know it's going to just let me down again. You know, it's a tough one.
And it will only give you four blueberry episodes.
My average for this season, Gareth, is a 3, by the way, after that. That has pulled it up It didn't have enough to pull it up to a 4. I went back and checked. So it's a 3 overall for the season, if you want that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't...
Take your word for it.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't care about that. So, look, I'm going to begin by saying, you know, if you listening, if you've enjoyed this episode and season, you know, good on you. I'm sure you'll be back for season 4, and in a way, I doff my cap to those that will stick by the show. You know, best of luck. Enjoy. For me, I mean, I'm gutted to say this. I think this is easily the worst episode of the season. I actually started laughing during most of it, and the last 20 minutes, I couldn't stop laughing. Just given the absolute absurdity of the dialogue. I mean, Ed Harris is the only one that's come out and complained about his material and his direction this season.
Yeah,
I'm convinced he's not the only one that's annoyed. I guess, like, Gaz, you've given it a 2 bloob, and you talk about because it looks good. And I would say, for me, kind of the analogy that I would use of the season as a whole is that it's like, imagine like a sports car. Right, it looks amazing, and then you look at it and you think, well, it's a 2-seater sports car, so it's not very practical. And then you realise that the tank is just empty. And then actually that doesn't matter, because there's no fucking engine. There's no engine. And you're like, this is a sham. This is not an actual car. This is not an actual season of TV. Certainly not of Westworld's quality. Honestly, some of it is just insulting. But look, in terms of, I'm in a fairly good mood today. And there are some parts that, as I say, I found hilariously bad. So unfortunately, some of this verges into the "it's so bad, it's good" territory.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one bloob from me. I have to say,
wow.
With the budget and the talent and the structure from previous seasons that they had, like they had everything there to make this a 4 or 5 bloob season fairly easily, really. The fact that it's gone so bad and so wrong, like, I'm sure the showrunners of this show, they won't get as much shit as Weiss and Benioff, because obviously Game of Thrones is far bigger than Westworld. But I think Westworld had an opportunity over a 5 or 6 seasons, maybe 5 seasons. I think it had an opportunity to create something that was as good. Now it's verging on just, it's an okay show. If someone said, "Oh, I've never seen Westworld, should I watch it?" I wouldn't even go, "Yeah, you know, the first season is amazing." I just go, "Yeah, it's all right." And that's a shame, because I thought this was going to be one of those TV series that you talk about, you know, like a Breaking Bad or something like that. 10 years from now, you go, "Oh, you've never seen it. Go back and watch it." This is slipped past, like so many of them, unfortunately.
I did a bit of research on this episode, John, and after this episode aired, and wanted to see what a few of my favourite reviewers had said about this episode, and not one of them enjoyed it. They actually rated it as the lowest rated episode this season. You know, some of those same reviewers loved the genre episode, but it seemed that this episode really didn't impress people enough and didn't do enough, and actually left a lot of people disappointed. The subreddit Westworld, r/Westworld, and there are a lot of complaints on there. Obviously, I go on there every week to get theories and whatnot, but there's so much infighting going on that subreddit of people going, "Come on, the show's really good." And then other people going, "No, it's shit." And then they argue with each other and say, "Why are you coming on the Reddit thread if you're saying it's shit?" And it's a lot of stuff going on at the moment, a lot of mixed opinions. But I think it's safe to say that everyone can agree that the show has not lived up to the promise that it had. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
And to what degree it's failed, I think, is where the argument falls down.
Well,
your points are valid. And you know,
if you look at the viewing figures of this season versus last season, I mean, it's down by over 50%. but it started out that way. So it had to start strong. And I think the first episode was pretty good. You know, for me, it was probably the best episode of the season. I mean, fairly easily, to be honest. I was excited. You know, when you get a start like that, it's like, oh, where are they going to go? And unfortunately, the journey was just abysmal for me. I struggle to understand where this is going to go and how many people are even going to be back to watch it. Because, I mean, typically something like this takes, what, 2 years to make? And a lot of people, even the people that were vaguely interested after season two, they just couldn't be bothered to come back for this because it was such a long break. I just can't see where this show is going in terms of like ratings and interest, because it's not a cheap show to make. But look, as I say, it's a one bloob from me. We can talk about the future of Westworld maybe at the end. What I'll do now, obviously I'll recap the episode's key points. There's a lot to cover. I'll then hand the reins over to Len for listener feedback. Do we have any season four theories?
So season four theories, interesting question. I do have a few theories that tie into season four, yes, but they're not overtly just about season four. Honestly, as I said, the Reddit thread at the moment is more concerned with in-house fighting than it is coming up with theories about season four. So sadly, it's not that great, but there are some things.
All right, so, you know, we do still have a Westworld Wanderings then, do we?
Oh, certainly there's a Wanderings, yes. There's always amusing. There's always
thank God this is the last episode.
Yeah. But before all that, we're going to have a little advert.
For my kind, there was one place we were never allowed to go. One place we were never allowed to see. Your world.
Cheers, John. Yeah, advert time. I know, every week. John. Jesus.
I know. Why does it make me laugh every time?
It's good, isn't it? It's good. See you again. Cheers, John. Cheers, John. Cheers, John.
It worked.
Just in a loop.
It still works.
Yeah. Cheers. Cheers, Gaz. That doesn't work. He's already in the advert.
Oh.
No, doesn't work.
That doesn't work. Yeah. Anyway. Cheers, Yorick Chapfallen. So last week we started the episode. He sent in an email just saying, look, you know, slagging us off and that, slagging me off personally. Well, not me, the other John. You know, some valid points. And he sent us another email and basically he was saying that, yeah, actually, John was right and he's the best. And he's become a Patreon, started giving us some money.
Yeah, thanks, Yorick.
Welcome aboard, Yorick.
He's probably going to be horrified now that I've given this one bloob, but I'd be interested to see what he scored this. But no, cheers, mate.
Yeah, I'm sure, Yorick, if you're listening, which you are, write in and let us know your thoughts on the finale.
Thanks very much, mate. Welcome aboard. You've now got access to loads of cast episodes where we're far more positive than we are about this.
And funny.
Yeah. Oh, far more funny. Yeah.
No, we're
absolutely
always funny.
Yeah, that other job.
Always
hilarious.
Funny, yeah. Always funny.
And the girls are on it as well. Just skip those ones.
The girls.
The girls.
Yeah.
They have identities, but we won't reveal them. So we've also got commission podcasts.
Girl one and girl two.
Girl one and girl two. You know, some of our more valuable Patreons, I'm going to be that crude, they're able to, well...
They're all valuable.
Well, yes.
They're all valuable.
Yeah? All right, well, if you got a fucking Ford Mondeo or Ferrari, which one's more valuable? Yeah, they're both cars. But anyway, so...
Depends on the intrinsic
depends
value.
On the sentiment.
Yeah, depends.
Yeah, exactly.
Who owned that Ford Mondeo? Yeah, Weiss and Benioff. Worthless. Anyway, so commission podcasts. We've just done World War Z. We will do more. I think we've got another one. I'm not sure if we're ready to reveal it yet, actually. But I'll be looking at the clockwork, yeah, to see whether or not we might be able to give a clue as to what that is. Yeah. So yes, it is 2001 A Space. No. Anyway. absolute car crash of an advert so far, but how the fuck have you not seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, new episode. So
yeah, that's good.
You know, we did RoboCop and we've just released Reservoir Dogs. You know, won't reveal.
Seen that now, Len, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, seen it.
Bit more bit tighter.
It was good fun.
Bit tighter with his blueberries on that podcast than he is on this, but yeah, whatever.
No. Just he thinks that this episode was as good as Reservoir Dogs.
No, that isn't how it works.
It is now fact. Our next episode is going to be Spirited Away, which I've never seen. But apparently there's...
How the fuck have you not seen that?
Oh, hello. That's good, that. I'm also going to plug a little nerdy podcast called Story Mode. Legend has it.
Yeah.
So it's a, look, it's a podcast about video games done by a group of lads. They're all right. They're lovely guys. So don't be...
They're absolutely lads. Yes.
And they're also joined by two lads, from what I hear. So, Len and Gaz, you joined them for a podcast, did you?
Yeah, we guest appeared, guest starred.
Yep.
It was good fun. We did a cracking episode about potential video game films that
shouldn't
don't
be
exist.
Films.
Yeah. Good.
And who we would cast and get to direct. So that was good fun. That'll be out later this week. So if you search for Story Mode, a video game podcast on any of your podcast platforms, you should find them. Give them a listen.
Good.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's a very enjoyable conversation where everyone's really happy. So, you know, if you don't like this podcast, go and listen to that one. But look, that's...
We are happy.
Yeah, that's enough, you know, pluggy. Let's go back to the Westworld pod.
Welcome to my world, Maeve.
What do you want from me, then?
Dolores. I want you to track her down and kill her.
Yeah, cheers, John. Slagger me off. So, anyway, no cold open this week. So
yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, why's that happening? Yeah. See, it seems like
why one time this year?
They're just doing it to wind me up. I think I stop talking about them, and then they go, "Yeah, you stop talking about them. Go on, don't do one now." Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, so we get a breakdown of Dolores. Throughout all her iterations, her timeline, she says there's only one real end, and this is one that she'll write herself, which is obviously important at the end of the episode. Initial thoughts of this beginning, her standing in a field. Did you have any idea what was going on at this point? Did you care?
I like seeing the old Westworld stuff again. So I did quite enjoy
Len
it, actually.
Len, aged 8.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed seeing the old Westworld now.
I like Care Boys.
It was nice to have the old Dolores, in a way. And a throwback to some moments that get obviously set up again at the end of the episode.
A little tease for the end.
Episode, which I actually really enjoyed seeing some of those snippets. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Good.
I thought it was just all memories. I thought this was just the journey that Dolores had been on, but tied into the end, didn't it? It was a little hinty.
Do you want to know what I thought when I was watching it? I was like, just come on, get back to the story. I need to know what is going on here. Get on with it. But yeah, fine.
Sick of memes.
Yeah, so talking about being sick of things, we cut back to Ben Yarday and Stubbs, the most disappointing duo of all time. I had such high hopes for these guys, to be honest. But Stubbs is shot by Mib, who then runs off.
Yeah.
It slowly just
he
runs
He does literally
off.
Like scamper okay. off. It's like, it cracks me up. Yeah. This whole sequence cracked me up because, one, he can only punch with his left hand. So I was just watching him wind up with his left against Benyade, super Benyade, who was not having any of it. And then when the police turn up, and I'll talk about that with you in a minute, John, because this was silly. I didn't care for this scene, really.
Four blueberries.
Little Mib just scampers off in the background.
Very slowly.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. I was like, what is this?
Yep. I mean...
why would they not care? It's Mib.
Why does he have to keep telling them stuff before he shoots them? Like, if you're going to kill them, just fucking kill them. They don't care about this. And then when Super Bernard turns up, he's like, yeah, this is more like it. Why? Why is that more like it?
He's a sadomasochist, isn't he? He's probably loving it.
Yeah, he's weird. Can we talk about the police, John? Well, are you going to tee us up?
Yeah,
yeah. Look,
so, you know, after Benyarde has pressed kind of L3 and R3 to activate, you know, Fury mode, where he's just invincible. I've been playing God of War recently, so that's what it reminded me of. It's like,
great game.
You just press a couple of buttons and then you're invincible for a bit. Yeah. So he does that. Mib runs off, going, oh, what's going on here? The police vans turn up. Oh, who's this going to be? Lawrence? Why?
Yeah.
What is he doing here? Honestly, like,
what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I mean,
I literally was watching this scene and I literally went, is that Lawrence? And then I was like, John's going to crack up when he sees him.
I like him. I like him. I like him as an actor. But yeah, he doesn't need to be here. This is mental. Like, is there like a little thing going on between the actors that, I know they have like a union, and it's just like, no, look, he has to be in this season so he can get a cut of like salary or whatever. They're just looking after their mates. Yeah. Mental.
So is this iteration of Dolores called DeLawrence? Because that would just crack me up. So we got DeLawrence now.
I mean, who the fuck would have guessed DeLawrence. Lawrence as a copy of fucking Dolores? Fuck off.
Yeah. Also, can I just say that while I remember to say it, another thing that really confused me about the end of this season was, where the fuck is Clementine and Dragon Tattoo go?
Don't worry about them.
Like, why would they? Okay,
don't worry about them.
Four blueberries. Just chuck them at them.
Four blueberries.
I enjoyed the episode, but there's, as I said, I said there's a lot of issues, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, a lot of issues so far. But yeah, okay, whatever. So at this point, I knew the episode was going to offer me nothing, to be honest. But Lawrence gives Bernie a case. Bernie says, you already gave me something inside my mind. Now, this was, I was like, fucking hell, this is hilarious. This was my first bout of laughter. Like, just remind everyone that you sort of know what's going on. And he does that throughout the entire episode. The one at the end is even worse. I sense Dolores is dead. Oh, fuck off.
Don't.
We're not there yet.
Sorry, you know, anyway, we'll hold that in.
That was a line also. Yeah.
Star Wars. But anyway. It really is May the 4th. But
I've got the chuckles going.
Yeah. We then cut to, hey, four bloobs, mate. So we then cut to Caleb. So Caleb has Dolores's pearl, and he puts it into an old school original Dolores, old school robo body.
Yeah, love it.
Very cool visual. Very cool. I liked it.
Amazing.
The glove skin bit. That was a bit silly, wasn't it?
That was all right. That was a.
I love it.
Reverse Gerald's game. If anyone's seen that.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah, I tell you what's great about this. Alex Garland has a great film called Ex Machina, and there's a similar use of special effects in that film. Brilliant film. Go watch that if you like this.
How many bloops?
And this reminded me totally of that. Oh, that's a five bloop film, easily. There are so many dynamics in this scene which remind me of that film, because that film is all about
robots
and robot women seducing a character, right? And that is essentially what Dolores is. At this point, we believe that, you know, he's just been seduced and, you know, all that sort of stuff's going on. So this is a very interesting comparison to that film to me. And I love this scene. I thought it was really good. I thought there's an amazing line in this scene where Dolores says, free will does exist. It's just fucking hard. I thought that was a very, very good line of dialogue. And I really enjoyed the scene.
Well, talking of dialogue, Caleb finally asks the question in episode 8 of... Yeah.
Will you marry me?
Oh, I really like your ass now. It's fucking steel. No, he says, who are you? What's going on? What?
Yep, that's a fair question.
Ask that is earlier. Fucking hell. It's like now he's seen her with robot legs. He's like, oh, hold on. What's going on here? Are you not a human?
There's something different about you.
You're walking slightly differently.
I think it's a great scene. I know it's silly how they've handled
it. It's not a great scene.
I thought it was one of the better
scenes. One of the better scenes, fine. It's not a great scene. You're not going to be like, it's not going to, that's absolutely fine.
I liked it.
It's absolutely fine. One of the better scenes, but it's not going to make a YouTube compilation of greatest TV scenes ever. So, no.
No.
Well, you just called it a great scene.
Obviously, I didn't say
who
that.
Who are you, Dolores?
So, what's going on? Why are you a robot now? I've always been a robot. You're not paying attention. Anyway, so we then get the reveal that Caleb's squad, his little army fellas, they've been in the park before, using hosts as like live target practice. That's brutal.
Yeah. Good idea.
What do you mean a good idea? That's terrible, that. Fucking hell.
If you need to, war games is a way that obviously, you know, armies train their soldiers. And the thing about war games is there's only so far you could go with war games. Imagine war games where you can actually physically take out counter-terrorism units, terrorist units. You know, civilians can get hurt and, you know, stuff like that. So it's interesting to me that that is a concept.
Just
I think that is
paintball.
Something that would happen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean,
far
no?
More effective to do it the way they're doing it. It's a good idea to train soldiers.
Definitely a good idea to train soldiers, but they have to gun down fucking humanoid. That's terrible, that. And then they try and rape them afterwards. So, what's going on here? Like, that's terrible. That
well,
is
yeah,
terrible.
I don't condone
well,
that part.
Well, you know. Oh, so now you've got a line, have you? So this is where...
So hold on, yeah. Where is... Yeah, why is the line there? Why are you allowed to murder them, but you're not allowed to...
No,
nah,
don't put your willy there. That's the line. No, don't shoot them. Full stop. That's terrible. But anyway.
Okay.
So this is where... Right. Yeah, correct. You're wrong, all right? Four bloobs as well, honestly. But so this is where Dolores first met Caleb. And we later find out, much later in the episode... it's revealed that Caleb's his reluctance to just start fucking the hosts as his bloodthirsty, wanky army mates want to is why Dolores decides he's a good man.
So let's...
How
let's,
low
let's
is the bar?
Just spell this out for a moment. Yeah, this show is saying that Caleb is a great person because he didn't rape the women.
Yeah, he only shot them.
Fucking...
Don't you see, Caleb, the reason she chose you is because you didn't rape those women at the
end.
Yeah,
he's standing there licking his lips like, fucking hell, man. No. Terrible.
Is she still alive? Is she still alive?
Oh, yeah. Dear. No, yeah, I get it, but it's I think that line is meant to infer more than just that moment. It's meant to infer his whole life and his whole, you know, it, anyway, it's just...
Yeah, it's about choices, isn't it? It's
yeah,
about
exactly.
The
yeah.
choices
yeah.
that he made. Mm. Yeah. All right.
High-fiving cool. Francis we'll as pass. He's staring at a dead host. Yay! Francis, like, oh, I might sleep with that one. Nah, don't do that.
No.
Only shoot
we established
it.
This. They don't exchange high-fives for some
reason. That's true, yeah,
reason.
Yeah.
They don't have any fun.
It's a post-COVID world, perhaps.
No fun, all right?
Hey, man, do you want to have some fun and do some high fives?
Oh, I'm a bit busy sleeping with this dead host. No, don't do that. That's bad. Anyway.
No, it's okay, because I murdered her first, so...
Oh, I didn't know the line was there. So anyway, we then cut to Mib. So he's having a... a $20,000 whiskey in a hotel.
Mm.
He says he's going to kill all the hosts and he wants to know where his money is. Has he bought that whiskey?
I think the world's in such disarray that he's just gone behind the bar and taken the whiskey, to be honest.
Wow. Do you know that for sure,
I don't think so. Well,
I mean, the hotel looks all right.
Well, why is this scene in here? Why does this matter? Who cares? Move on.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I wrote.
No, the problem with the
so...
Yeah, the problem with the Mib stuff is at the end of the season, now we can all look back at every episode that he's in and go, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, crack on.
But anyway, the reason for this scene, because it is massively important, it isn't. No, it is. So he wants to know the location of all the Delos HQs around the world.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter until the post-credit
scene. He should know that. Yeah,
but he's forgot, hasn't he? Because, you know, whiskey and that. And also, can you?
It is $20,000 whiskey. To be fair, I've got like half a bottle of $120 whiskey on my whiskey shelf, and I'm like, well, I'm going to save that for a special occasion. Like, who the fuck is having $20,000 whiskey? That is mental.
He's skint as well.
Jesus.
But anyway, so yeah. So we go back to Serac, and he's he's very French in this episode. I don't know why, but I mean, I think he's just having a laugh because he's like, do you know what?
It's the evil laugh he does at the end of everything.
Yeah, and he calls Dolores dangerous. I'm like, okay. So where's that come from? Yeah, fine.
She is dangerous.
She's a very dangerous. Sorry?
Dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous.
Oh, that's so good.
That's like, okay.
Je ne sais quoi.
Maeve, right? Fucking hell. So,
Dolores appelle Maeve.
Où est le Dolores?
So, anyway, so Maeve starts doubting Serac's plan. Mainly because he's fucking mental, but whatever.
And French.
Very French.
Hold on a second, you're French,
yeah,
aren't you?
Hold on, why have you said dangerous? We then get a bizarre scene where they discover Caleb on the CCTV and he's extracting the plans from Solomon. And Serac says, how did we miss this? Yes. Because it's the main fucking camera. That's the first thing you check. Oh, hang about. Has anyone checked this yet? It's madness.
Sir, I found...
Sacre bleu! How did we miss
it? Something, sir.
This is very dangerous. That doesn't even make sense. Fucking hell. He's terrible, this episode. But anyway... that is literally the first thing you check, but they didn't, and they know. So Dolores and Caleb, they head for Insight and are joined by some hired goons by the Rico app. They all die immediately. So
yeah, yeah.
And then go on. Go on. Yeah.
I quite like the
Rico. Sure you do.
I was a bit mean to the Rico app in early episodes, but
you were. You hated it when it was good. You hated it,
and now it's shit. You love
it. No, because now I quite like it. No, I quite like it that it's like this thing where you can like go, oh, tell the sniper I'll triple his pay to kill the other two, and he does it. I love that. That's cool. That's a cool use of tech. So I thought it was actually used quite well here.
You're loving some weird things in this, aren't you? So shooting the hosts.
Yeah.
And now some guy turning on his teammates for money. Like, what's wrong with you?
It's like Call of Duty Warzone all over again. Yeah. I'll take all your monies.
So Shaloris turns up as a hologram, and she's turned on Dolores. Yes. Okay, because she's looking very lovely. She's got a bit of a burnt arm, but other than that, lovely. She's hired her own goons. They all die as well. I mean, one of them gets away by shooting his mates in the back and tripling his pay. So, kids, there's a lesson there for you.
Yeah.
Always turn on your mates.
Be the sniper.
Yeah, always be the sniper. So, Dolores and Caleb split up because more goons turn up, this time from Serac. And then... Maeve turns up again. Yay!
Brilliant. We get to see them fighting again. Brilliant.
She turns up with her legendary samurai sword. She has yet to win a battle with this weapon. All right? She's lost every...
Yeah. And she's awfully cocky about it as well.
I've been practicing. Like,
yeah, well, I'm not surprised given how it goes every other time we fight. No, you keep losing.
She won
the
last one.
Not because of the fucking samurai sword.
They both
lost. Fucking robot in the sky that blew Dolores' arm off. Like, that's a hell of an assist.
Yeah. Skybot.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a cluster, wasn't it? But anyway, so Dolores won't trust Maeve. So she runs off and easily dispatches Serac's goons.
Yeah, this annoyed me because they look so well padded. This is what I mean about the Streets of Rage stuff, Gaz. Yeah. I was like, oh, these are like, they're going to have some serious health bar. But like one pistol shot was getting through their armor. I was like, what the fuck are they getting through their armor?
I'm actually going to say this is one bit that I quite enjoyed. Like,
yeah,
visually, I thought it was quite cool. Like
It was John Wick-y. It was John Wick-esque.
These
scenes.
Yeah, some of the kills were brutal. One guy got shot in the foot. Like, you'd take that, wouldn't you? The rest of your mates are getting shot like four times through in the face, and you get to retire on a full pension.
Mm. So yeah, sweet. Right, I'm going to sleep with all these people.
It was
now.
Very John Wick.
So, but there's one bit where, I mean, she's just running straight at them, and they can't fucking shoot her to save their lives. I mean, their aim is terrible. But there's one bit where two of them go, grab her. Mm. Why? You're holding like an assault rifle.
I've got a shot.
Shoot her,
one of them says, I've got a shot.
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
They want her alive, obviously. They don't want her to die.
Well, they're firing. They're firing at her, though, aren't they? They're firing at her.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so what is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know? No, correct. Like, well, then shoot her with, like, nets something. Like, something crude like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Should have got you in the tactical ops team.
Yeah, and have one of the nets hit, like, one of his mates, and then he'd be like, oh, I'm in a net! You've shot the net on me, you moron! It'd be hilarious.
Well, why when we're playing Warzone, do you not come up with these tactics?
Because I'm
what I
dog
know.
Shit it, mate. Yeah, that's why. There is no net gun either. So anyway, we get lots of shooty gun with some absolutely diabolical aiming. We then finally and thankfully get another showdown between Maeve and Dolores. And I've written more fighty, more talky.
But this time, it's for real.
There's a couple of good things in here.
Right, well, I'll let you talk about them in a sec. But ultimately, none of it matters. But, you know, go on. Well, you talk to us. What did you like about it? Struggling already.
I did kind of like the fact that now we've got OG Dolores in the metallic body, that the samurai sword was null and void. That was quite cool. I enjoyed that.
That's why the samurai sword was null and void. It's been useless the whole time.
Yeah, okay. But I will say that it reminded me of a scene with Jaime Lannister that I hated, actually, in Game of Thrones, where he blocks like a sword attack in Dawn with his golden hand.
He's got his golden arm.
What is this? But I did quite enjoy it. It was fine. That was good. The choreography was good for a change. I enjoyed that. I love the brutality that the hosts can fight with. Like, they can throw each other like miles and crush cars and stuff. I enjoy that sort of stuff. And I felt that they didn't do enough of that last season when they had all the hosts in the park overpowering the humans. I felt it wasn't good enough. I felt this was pretty good. And there are seeds of doubt that you can see within Maeve's interactions with Dolores throughout this episode, and this is where they start.
Genuine question. At the time, I suppose you probably did. Again, I was a little bit lost. I'm a bit like, why do they hate each other? I'm still not sure. Like, I don't know why Maeve is so, at this point, determined to stop Dolores from doing whatever it is that she thinks Dolores is doing.
Just because she wants to see her daughter. She believes that Dolores has the key to that.
But she seems so passionately against Dolores' mission, which...
There's a good line of dialogue in here, actually, which I really enjoyed, which was, you know, you just want to populate worlds with copies of yourself, Dolores, is what Maeve says. And Dolores is right. Dolores says... you're all copies of me. I was the first one.
Yeah,
so in a way, you're all just iterations of the original Dolores.
But why does Maeve give a shit if she wants to do that? Why does she care?
Because she doesn't want to see innocent people die. Like, she doesn't want the human race to die. She's got a bit of a heart. Like, and a, you know, she's made some human companions over the last few seasons. And that line from Dolores is actually a very good line and one of the better lines of the show and something that made me think a little bit. I was like, oh, yeah. She is the original one, so they are technically all copies of her, in a way.
You are right. You are the best.
You are the best.
Yeah, so she says, look, you are the best. And she's lying on the floor. Dolores has let Maeve off the hook. She's like, look, you know, I've beaten you again. Stop fucking chasing me with this sword, all right? So she wanders off. And then Shaloris turns up.
Oh, just quickly, actually. Maeve dragging the samurai sword along the ground. Yeah, Pyramid cool. Head.
Yeah, Pyramid Head, Silent Hill 2. Yes.
Mm. Anyway, I'm glad that that important note was added. Shiloris turns up, disables Dolores. Yeah. Somehow. Don't worry about that.
New powers.
You know, because you remember when you done that thing with me? Well, look, I've done it with you, innit? Sorry, what's going on here? So Maeve's captured Dolores.
I think, yeah.
No, don't think, yeah. No.
I think it's because she's... Okay.
No. Do you know?
Well, I think it's because she's in the old host body. She's in the old host body, which is controllable by Delos Tech again. That is the reason. But continue.
Caleb's caught up in the protests. and I'm thinking, you know, he's definitely dead here. And then his best mates ever in the world turn up. Giggles. I bet he wished he was dead at this point. But so Giggles turns up. He's like, hey! And he's like, oh, fucking hell. You all right, mate? How you doing? And then Ash turns up as well.
Yeah, that's Marshawn Lynch, isn't it? The one who plays Giggles. I mean, and they literally have a scene of him catching a grenade in this.
Good, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Four bloobs, mate. So don't...
And then he rams the barrier. He's getting all of his skills in. Jesus.
He's not an actor. That's why. Fucking hell. Jesus.
No. He's not an actor, but it's fine because they put a t-shirt on him that tells you his emotions so he doesn't have to act them.
I'm thinking they've...
Excited.
I'm thinking they've turned up to be, like, killed brutally. In front of Caleb or like in a montage later in an attempt to kind of characterize the human struggle. I'm thinking they're going to cut back to the only other people that they could because they've not created any other human characters that you give a fuck about. That these guys are going to be killed like toward the end or whatever. That doesn't happen. Giggles is
I just
shot,
thought
though.
Of a very good spin-off that we should have done, actually, John. Sorry to interrupt. Where for our Patreons, what we should have done is we should have, like we did live reactions for Game of Thrones. This would have been really fun. We have you sat on your sofa at home wearing the emotion t-shirt that Marshawn wears.
And it would have just said bored the whole time.
You don't say anything. It's just a live cam set up. And I'd love to see what words get highlighted by your mood. That'd be, that's my new fun idea.
Yeah,
maybe for season four, we'll do that. Let's do that for season four.
No, I'm not coming back for season four, right? So anyway.
So just quickly on this, Giggles getting shot. He gets shot because the police guy is trying to shoot Caleb because he's getting in the car. So the police guy shoots at Caleb, hits Giggles, and then sort of stands there for a bit and is like, no, oh, bloody heck.
And he had one bullet.
Whilst Caleb slowly walks into the car talking to Ash going, go and help him. He needs you.
Yeah.
No, you can't come with me. Yeah, go on.
Go away.
I'm going to get in this car now, probably.
It only fits one person.
Okay, I'm getting in now. See you.
Can I get in there? Look safe in there. Like, is a riot going on here? No, look, he's fucking dead, right? He's been shot. He's lying on the floor. Right?
That is right.
His t-shirt says he's dead. It says dead. So...
What emotion are you?
Yeah. Dead. I'm dead. Okay. So, you're right. But that policeman, obviously, he's turned up. He's brought one bullet to work that day. And he's standing there and he's like, oh, fucking, I've only bought one bullet to work today. Why have you done that? There's protests going on, mate. But anyway. So...
I thought we'd just calm him down with words.
Yeah. Confused on the T-shirt. But anyway, so Caleb, he fucks off. Now, this next scene... Now, I know Len loved it, and I'll just open it up for discussion between you two, because I don't think I'm going to add anything that isn't negative. But this next scene might have meant something to me had they layered it throughout the season. So Ben Yarde, he meets Arnold's wife, and they discuss the pain of losing their son. I say their son. But, yeah. So thoughts?
Yeah, as I said to you in my Bloob rating synopsis, this is Westworld at its best when it made us care about, I don't know, like Bernard was such a fascinating character in season one and I felt he's been really lost this season, but like his acting in this scene's brilliant. I thought he was great and I love this, like the reveal that he's been wandering around. He's actually he's a very unfortunate host because he stupidly thinks that he is human in a way. You know, he's the one
stupid idiot.
No, but he's the one who thinks that he is the most human. And to then have this moment where he's actually justified in his backstory, knowing that Charlie was real and his wife in his cornerstone memory was real. And these are real people. And to have that human conversation with the mother of this child and himself being the father, obviously, in his mind, is going to free him up and like hopefully release his character into something more interesting now. But I really enjoyed it. It was really touching for me, probably the most emotional moment of the episode. And I thought this was easily Benyarde's best scene of the season by a country mile.
Yeah.
I don't think it packed the punch at the time, but I think Len's explained it eloquently. And it is a, when you think about it, it is a pretty big moment. But I think you have to think about it. And I'm not here to think, God damn it.
You're watching the wrong show then, mate, I think.
Well, not anymore.
That's been my problem.
The point of this is, for me at least, it just exposes like the lack of development for Bernie all season.
Yeah,
like you can't have him knocking about as part of this shit duo, and then out of nowhere it's like, oh, actually, no, this is supposed to be quite good, and this matters. But
yeah, I'm not denying that.
He might as well have been sitting there in a fucking clown costume. Like you'd be like, I mean, it is good, but also look where it takes place. Do you know what I mean? Like that. So that annoyed me more than anything. It frustrated me. But you are right. You know, in terms of the acting, very good. And I'd imagine he was probably like, yes, more of this, man. More stuff that matters.
Yeah, that's
rather than running around with a fucking shotgun or whatever. Like, just fucking hell. But anyway, so
Bernie and Stubbs are coming to town.
Oh, Stubbs is in trouble again.
To shoot you and run around.
Yeah, oh, Stubbs has been shot again.
And Stubbs.
Yeah. Oh, no, Stubbs has been shot.
Again.
Yeah, Stubbs is drunk. So, back at Insight. And Caleb, he's killing off more goons. Why not? Whilst Dolores is having her data deleted.
Whilst getting the job done.
Whilst getting the job done, yeah.
It's
yeah, I actually think the reason, and I'll say this now, that I actually thought they did the Dolores permadeath quite well was because of the deletion of memories. I find that to be a fate worse than death. That's why I think I got a bit emotional about it because, you know, deleting memories and stuff, that's brutal, man.
Yeah. So the deletion of memories of a computer effectively gets you more than shooting them and then fucking them. Like, what's wrong with you?
Wait a minute. You've added that last bit in there. And I just said it makes sense. It makes sense if they're not sentient hosts to have the army use them as war games. I think that's a smart government
move,
in my opinion.
Use them.
Now, here he goes on about his bloody war games again. You're obsessed, mate.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to say, though, Caleb actually entering Insight and then having this sort of young Hugh Jackman look on.
Who is this guy?
Isn't he?
Who is he?
He's like... What, right, first of all, he's gone there to stop Caleb.
On his own.
Okay, but he's decided that the way that he's going to stop Caleb is to go on his own without everybody else that's there on his side. And instead of taking a gun with him, he's going to take a bit of wire and strangle him to death.
Fucking bizarre.
After speaking to him. And then he just dies, breaks his neck.
I'll tell you what would have made me laugh, though. If he turned up... And because obviously we don't know who this guy is, but if Caleb would have turned to him and gone like, Jason, and he's like, Caleb, we meet again. and then they just fight, and then he dies. You're like, whoa, who's chasing? Why do they? Yeah. Why the fuck do they know one another? It was bizarre, wasn't it? It was so bizarre. Maybe.
I'd say it's not my favorite henchman decision of all time.
Well, look, maybe it's because he's the only one that keeps looking at the fucking security cameras, and he's seen him walk in.
Yeah.
And he's obviously there. He's having a fight. He's lying there with his neck broken. Serac's like, why did no one tell me this? This guy very dangerous. And then he obviously sends...
He's not Italian.
Well, he is now. No, this is the Italian one. There's two. So, yeah. And then Maeve just turns up with loads of goons. And I'm like, well, you know, what are you going to do now? And he's like, yeah. So...
Yeah, good point.
I'll give up then. So he he gets taken to the room where Dolores is having a word data deleted. Len's in tears at this point, and Caleb finds out. And,
whoa!
So Caleb finds out that. He finds out that his planned upload via Solomon would cause mass casualties, which is always good to laugh as I'm sub-reading that out. So that's brutal, isn't it, how it breaks it down?
Mass casualty, then another mass casualty, then another mass casualty, then the end of humanity. Maybe it's not the best option.
Yeah, probably won't do this then.
Yeah.
So...
You lied to me, Dolores.
Oh, I trusted you weird robot that I don't even know. So Mae finds out that everything Serac says is fed to him directly from Robbie, the hoebound.
Good. This is good. This is very good. Sorry, I think this is very good.
You tell us why this is good, and I'll tell you why I was so distracted that I couldn't possibly think about this being good.
Okay.
But you go first.
I'll tell you why it's good. So we have said all season throughout Westworld Wanderings and Crazy Radio Theories that Serac is essentially an avatar of Rehoboam, and they did a very interesting thing here. He has given in to his belief. He's a zealot, right? He's like a fucking...
Slug.
He believes that the world has to have order... slug zealot, and has to have order, and he's literally done something that most sort of zealots never do, which is he's actually following exactly what he wants to happen, if you get what I mean. Whereas usually you get these preachers and people who sometimes like preach one thing and then go and do whatever the hypocrites, they do what they want in the background. He's given himself over to this idealism that Rehoboam is the answer and the savior to humanity, and he's done
that. Cultist.
He's literally turned himself into a puppet. Yeah, but he's done so. He's not been a hypocrite about it. He's following it. So I think it's very good.
Legend.
I think it's very good. I think it backs up some of the stuff we were talking about in The Wanderings, and I liked it a lot.
Cool. The whole time that was happening, I was distracted because Serac's had enough of Caleb, right? He's like, I'm sick of this. Sick of this guy. I am sick of this guy. Sicker. He's like, kill him. Kill him here and dispose of his body elsewhere.
He's a crappy body.
Right? So that's the message he's been given. Kill him here. Dispose of his body. So his goons pick him up and move him 2 meters to the left, right? And then stand there pointing a gun at him whilst he's like slapping. He keeps slapping them. And I was like, what is happening? What are they doing? He said, kill him here. So, does kill him here equal move him 2 meters over there and point a gun at him?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you this. There is so much nonsense that happens in this episode that, like we've said with some other shows, sometimes you just gotta go with it, whatever, right? But there is nonsense here. Serac shot a terrorist in the face in front of Maeve 4 episodes ago, right? Who, the one that, you know, they found, and he showed pictures of his family getting, you know, projections of what would happen. And then he shoots that guy in the face. He has a gun to Caleb's head, essentially the same situation, someone that worked with Dolores. Why doesn't he just shoot him in the head? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, I agree with that. And then the goons taking him over to the other corner of the room to the killing floor made no sense either. So I do agree.
And then not kill again.
Yes, there are some silly there's some silly things going on here, but I was just rolling with it, you know? I was just rolling with it. I was just like, yeah it's fine. Just
whatever, innit? Four bloobs. So Sorak, he once again says to Maeve that she has no choice, gets his little button out, says, you know, got control of you and that, so, you know, rein it in, I'm going to be very unhappy, so you just chill out, and I'm thinking there's no way that button can be destroyed, so, you know, she's fucked. So Sorak orders a full wipe of Dolores and for Caleb to be killed. Take him over there. He's very dangerous. You must kill him very quick. and they don't, obviously. I think one of them's got like a stomach bug or something, and he's like, "Oh, just hold here for a sec. Just hold here. No, we need to take him out, don't we? No, just give us 30 seconds." So
keep pointing your gun at him for a bit. I'm just hold on.
So once he discovers that Dolores doesn't hold the key. That's obviously when he wants. it's probably important to mention that he's like, yeah, no key. Caleb dead. Dolores wipey. So Maeve and Dolores have a lovely chat in a lovely field. She doesn't have the key. She couldn't trust herself with it. Maeve says, "Your plan to liberate the world was to convince one man to fight," and she says, "Not just him." And then she goes, "Can you pick a side for fuck's sakes?" Because, and she's like, yeah, right, fair enough. So Dolores is wiped. Maeve goes mental with her sword, finally gets a kill with it. She gets very excited. Sorak's like, whoa, gets his little super button out. So, so just press that. Maeve, she can't do anything now. She immediately deactivates it with a bit of magic powers. That's a bit fucking a bit convenient, isn't it? And then we get a nice little montage of firing guns in the darkness, which I missed the first time around.
Yeah, it looked cool.
Yeah, it did look cool. But I was still, I mean, I had my head in my hands after Maeve just exploding that button. So it was only the second time that I watched that I got to see that. But yeah, it looked all right. Looked absolutely fine. It's just silly though, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I talk about the scene with Maeve and Dolores in the field and how it was good? Hey, it was good. It was good dialogue that tied into it tied into season one nicely. Like, you know, I see such beauty in this world, and you know everything that Dolores used to say. And what was actually a nice touching moment here before Dolores dies permanently is the fact that we got to see these snippets from the first season.
100%, yeah.
She's gone. She's gone.
Yeah.
The moment in the first season where she sees a little girl while she's painting. It's such a fleeting scene in season one, but it's actually a very nice scene, and it's nice that those little moments get brought back. And it's like she talks about how she saw the beauty as well, and that is what she wants humanity to find again. And I thought it actually worked very well, and it did sound very convincing to Maeve, obviously. And you see the shots of her and her daughter and Dolores seeing her one time, and I thought it was very sweet. And I love the look of Westworld once again, just being back there. It was great.
Good, wasn't it?
And I really liked it.
Good.
I mean, yet another argument for them to have just kept Westworld in Westworld.
Look, I'm liking this spin-off. So Sorak's bleeding out on the floor. Turns out Caleb is now the main user. He's got admin rights of Robbie.
And, because Dolores copied the Matrix, where Neo gets plugged into the Matrix, spoiler warning. It's essentially the same storyline. Yeah.
I'm not saying there was no reason for it. It's just I'm assuming people that listening to this podcast have seen the episode. So so that happens, all right, for no reason. No, there's a reason. It's fine. So he's the main user, and he says to Robbie, he's like, right, okay, just delete yourself, please. And Robbie's like, okay. So that's deleted. Sirak's going mental. He's like, no. And then they just leave him there on the floor. Why don't they just chop his head off?
Will he return?
Yeah, but why if they left him there?
Yeah. I just think that his... him being Rehoboamless is like a fate worse than death for him. Do you know what I mean?
It's almost as bad as having your memories saved data deleted.
Yeah. Hey, mate. If I lose a hard drive by accident, I tell you something, it can be a fate worse than death. So I've got a question just quickly, well, before we wrap it up, I guess, and stuff, but I got a question. What was... him deleting Rehoboam, that's not doing the strategy that Dolores had originally, is it? This is a different path that they've taken, right?
Yeah, she said, look, you know, do what you want. It's up to you now. Do what you like.
Cool. All right, good. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. I just wanted to check that I wasn't going wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit risky, isn't it? Like, imagine if he was like, do you know what? Robbie, just delete yourself. And then just loads of nukes just get unleashed. But whoa, what's going on here? Well, Robbie was stopping them, so that's what you've done.
Yeah, I said to you, you have not got control of the nuclear weapon.
Don't do that. It's very dangerous, sir. Stop saying it like that. Yeah. Anyway, so we then go back to Bernie, and I'll tell you what, he seems to be having quite a lovely day, considering that. I mean, he's just driving around. Seems quite quiet, to be honest, considering that the rest of the world is on fire.
I mean, he's left Stubbs bleeding out in the back of his car.
He's bleeding out.
God knows how long.
Yeah. He gets Stubbs in the bath. Just says, oh, yeah. So basically, I'll just give you a little rundown, Stubbs, of everything that's happened that, you know, I just know somehow. Stubbs, how do you know that? He's like, ah, don't worry about it. But look, fact, all right? Dolores is dead, and this is what's going on. So he's like, okay.
We've always had a connection, me and Dolores. Yeah. So you're force sensitive now.
Yeah. And also Chewbacca's not dead either. So he then gets out his PlayStation VR headset. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to give this a go for a bit. Sticks it on his head. Yeah. Looks
got Deep Sea Diver on this. It's good.
And he just sits there chuckling away. And Stubbs is like, I'm still bleeding out in this bath. Like,
Why hasn't he fixed Stubbs?
It's weird. Maybe he didn't think he'd be gone as long as he was.
Don't worry, isn't he? Don't worry, Stubbs, I'll fix... But he says, don't worry, Stubbs, I'll fix you up good and proper in a bit. I've just got to go and speak to Dolores. And then he never does it.
Yeah, so he fucking wakes up and he's very dusty. Very, very dusty. Now, either it's been a very dirty couple of days or a lot of time has passed.
I think like 5 years is my guess.
Fucking hell, dusty is your house, Jim?
That was 5 years worth of dust, wasn't it?
What?
That was 5 years worth of dust, was it? You analysed it.
I reckon 5 to 10 years. So
you just doubled the time length now. So
Well, I'm just saying. I think there's going to be a massive time jump next season.
So, 5 years isn't that big.
We know. Well, I'll tell you something. 100. We know that the post credit scene from last season with Robot Mib took place hundreds of years in the future, as the showrunners say.
Yep.
So it would be interesting to see if season four went like a couple of decades maybe in the future, and then season five went hundreds of years in the future. Yep. That would be very interesting to me.
Well, there wasn't much dust on Mib at the end of season two. So
yeah, it was. Mate, that whole facility was covered in sand and like overrun.
Oh, I don't know. Not as dusty as Bernie's face. I reckon he's like 2,000 years in the future. Stubbs is definitely dead in that bath as well, by the way, but whatever.
Yep.
No, he's still there, like, please patch me
up. Help me out of this bath. I'm only a robot. Fuck, you don't even need blood. Get up. So, yeah. So, anyway. We then cut back to Maeve and Caleb as they watch the city burn to the sounds of Pink Floyd. Because, you know, why not?
Very Fight Club.
It is very Fight Club. It is very Fight Club. It is Fight Club. One of those buildings, I'm sure Ed Norton's just staring back at them as well, like, oh yeah, fucking hell, that was convenient. And then that's it, and that's the end of the episode. And no, it isn't, because we already know we've got one post-credit scene, but then we get another one that's even more important. It is, and it's terrible. So Mibs in Dubai, he walks up to lovely lady, lovely receptionist. He's a bit mad, so naturally she's gonna she's going to obviously press the security button. Guy turns up, so, well, what's going on here? He gets shot immediately. And as if she wasn't having a bad enough day, he smashes her little iPad as well. Like, why is he doing that? You've just shot someone.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Like, you don't need to do that. That's out of order, that. So he walks down the stairs.
That is out of order.
I hope he gets his throat cut in a minute.
Now, that would obviously never happen, because he's far too important to the story. So he bumps into Shaloris. He's like, well, you know, how comes you still got the firearm? And she's like, well, you know, just doing it to remember stuff, innit? And he's like, fair enough. And then another Mib turns up, her own Mib. He then beats the shit out of human Mib, slits his throat as it pans to a room full of hosts being created. This is like, you know, their little army. And that's it. It's the end. And I'm speechless. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. But that's it. That's the end of the season. Thoughts?
Yeah. So, I was all the time while the last few scenes were going on, I was like, where's Dolores? Where's Dolores? And we get her in the same credit scene. It turns out that the man in black, there's no wonder Ed Harris is so annoyed, because why... on God's green earth would he turn up to Dubai to the headquarters on his own with a handgun if he's thinking that they're building loads of hosts against a host army? Why is he turning up there and just rocking up down to the basement and thinking that he's just going to be able to stop it all himself? He is deluded at this point. And
four blueberries though, isn't it?
No, because I told you I hate the Mib stuff at the front. The Mib stuff is so bad that I am devastated for his character. Devastated for his character. To the point where when he got his throat cut, I was like, you know what? That isn't even a sweet death for Ed Harris on this show, because he's going to have to come back as a fucking host for the next
two
seasons.
But this is the thing. I'll tell you what. I actually wondered whether his comments were a little bit of a... what's the word? A little bit tricky. He was trying to trick us a little bit. And that... Because... he obviously is going to be playing Black Hat.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Man in black now. I mean, he is. He's going to be an evil killer robot from the looks of things. So, you know, I wonder whether his comments were actually to set us up for that.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's just John hates it. I've been defending the man in black all season. Like, this is going somewhere. There's something to this.
It's still good. It's
and
still
for
good.
This to be the way it was used. It's still good. It's still good. It felt to me like just such a shame to get, like, I'm just thinking, is the only reason they've put him in the insane asylum and everything to have this end scene? Like, what's the fucking point? Like, you don't need, you could just have cut to Dolores doing this and it still would have been effective. I'd have been like, oh, that's quite cool. They're building an army. But to have Ed Harris, man, I just feel so sorry for the man in black. My John's favourite character, apart from Anthony Hopkins, my favourite character. And just the way it's been handled this season is a travesty to me. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to end on a downer, but unfortunately the show did end on a downer there.
Four bloobs, though. Can you imagine, like, Ford running into that same thing? Like, little short Anthony Hopkins runs in. He's wearing, like, what's the light fabric that you wear? You know, beach wear. Linen.
Spandex. No, spandex.
No, not spandex. No, linen. So he runs in. He's wearing white linen and some flip-flops, or tongs, as they call them in Australia. He's got an assault rifle. He just runs in and just starts firing at people. And then he just gets shot dead in reception.
Yeah.
Like, that's how underwhelming this whole thing is. You'd be like, why are they doing that with him? And it's exactly what they've done with me. But it's, honestly, it's insulting to... Yeah, such a waste, honestly. So that's it. Look, you know, some of us have enjoyed it. And me and Gaz have hated it. So now it's time to move on to Len for his final Westworld wanderings and listener feedback.
Hello, yes, welcome back to the final Westworld Wanderings, a shorter one this week, because as I said, Reddit is too concerned with riots and destabilising itself that it wants to sort of formalise any theories about the next season. But the first one I have for you is about season 4, and it's about what Bernard saw, and it's been posted by, and I know you guys like these names, so this is you/Mr. Pleades. So you/Mr. Pleades has... Yeah, pretty good. Has
it's said, no Nick's 98.
No, it's no Nick's 98. No, Nick's 98.
He's the all-time MVP. So what Bernard saw is the title. The answer, Future World. Recalling what Maeve said in episode 2 about how much faster a digital world moves than the real one, I imagine decades have passed for the hosts living in the Sublime. What we thought would be an idyllic, pastoral, peaceful delight, a peaceful digital Westworld, actually became a gleaming future world. The twist? That the world has its problems too, big ones. Free to themselves, the hosts discover that their interior darkness is not so different from their makers. Ultimately, neither hosts nor humans alone will survive. It will take them working together. The great Oracle Bernard, having spent 10 years in Future World for every one in the real world, now awakes in the real world 10 years later, 100 years wiser. At first, we will think he is working towards ensuring that Future World comes to pass, but in reality, he is going to work to avoid it and run straight into conflict with Holoris. That is season 4, or so I theorise, says Mr. Pleades.
Look... That's fine. And you know, I see what you're doing here. Mr. Pleades has just written that. That's not based on anything.
No, that's a nice guess,
I do think. I think it's a good guess. And I think the digital world thing has been referenced in the last season as well. That time moves slower there. Faster there, sorry, for the amount of time here. It's the same as Inception, Gareth, which you love. I also think that they showed this sort of blue hue shine into Bernard's face. And if you remember, the Sublime was always very orangey, wasn't it? Like sunsetty. And now this blue hue feels very techy to me. So I think Future World is a very good shout from our boy, Mr. Pleades. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is what happens next season,
well, look,
to be completely honest with you.
We should theorise on who they're going to cast as Blue Hue. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I like it. It's it'll do, won't it? It'll do for now.
It'll do for now. So here we go. This one is posted by you/psychologist. So simple in their name there, and you know we should listen to them because they've been at university. Yeah, don't know.
Yeah, there's no numbers after that.
No numbers. No numbers. Weird.
666
posted 2 hours.
Have they spelled psychologist correctly?
Yeah, to be honest with you, mate, I'm looking at that word now thinking, do I know how to spell psychologist? So the season 2/season 3 post credit scene theory. William is an outlier, a lot like Caleb. He said in the post-credit scene in season 2, if you remember the one that I referenced that takes place hundreds of years in the future, that he wanted to prove that no system can tell him what to do, that he has a fucking choice. This resembles much of the season 3 arc, especially what was revealed about Dolores in the end. My theory is that William is an outlier. He'll become the first successful host-human hybrid, a lot like Caleb was one of the first successful reprogrammed outliers. We will see human die. We see human William die in post-credit scenes of season 3, but we know he comes back in another form later. When Ben Arnold woke up covered in dust, it nearly looks identical to the ruins of post-credits in the season 2 scene. However, Ben Arnold got William's file from the institution and was with him afterward, so he is the key to the hybrid as well. So this is the idea that the future iteration that we saw at the end of season 2 of MIB is actually going to be very important in the end game of Westworld. What do you think about that?
I disagree.
Yeah.
No, that's well thought out. Thank you.
Yeah,
psychologist.
I quite like it. I mean, we got to find out how far Bernard is in the future and all that sort of jazz. Yeah. And there's lots to go on here. But as I said, the next season does have scope to be sort of Mad Max meets Terminator.
I think it makes sense for this post credit scene and the season 2 post credit scene to be in the same time period, doesn't it?
Yeah,
makes sense for that to be the case.
It does. But I think, let's see. They're going to do a massive time jump. Whether it's, 5 years is a massive time jump, 10 years is a massive time jump. They go hundreds of years, then who knows? Let's round it off with a bit of a comical one. And this is from u/insert meta here. Season three or four is going to be called Planet of the Hosts. Next season ends with Bernard finding the Statue of Liberty sunken on the beach. So I quite like that.
Mm.
Bit of banter there from u/insert meta there. So
you did it.
Damn you. Damn you. Yeah. So that'd crack me up.
Yeah. It'd be funny if there's some chimpanzees knocking about as well. That's terrible. He looks well sad.
Oh, chimpanzee that.
And that's it. I was going to say, Gareth, and that's it for Westworld Wanderings and crazy ready dearies. Chimpanzee that. Monkey news.
Yeah.
That's it for that this season. Let's round off with some listener feedback. There's no jingle for that.
Let's do the jingle for that. Oh, they've written in. Chimpanzee that. Feedback.
Chimpanzee that. Feedback.
Oh, it's written it down.
Yeah, it's good.
They have written it down and they've sent it to us. So first is from our Patreon, Beth Panico.
Hey.
She has been in touch via the Patreon.
BP.
Bethy. And she has said, greetings from her Fortress of Attitude. So a nice play on there. Yeah, good. She disagrees with the email last week that says that we should give more positive reviews and try and enjoy it. She likes it because we are honest and criticize things, I guess. Which, we've talked about this in detail and we do flick between both. We're honest at the end of the day and that's what we're trying to do. We never want to lie to any of you listeners.
Well, you
basically.
Do.
Four blueberries.
Oh, blueberries.
I enjoyed the episode. Why did you say blueberries so weird? I enjoyed it. Anyway, okay. next, who is Toddy B? Everyone seems to know him. Big questions. This season asks big questions, yeah?
Biggest question is,
who is
Toddy
B?
There are rumours.
There are rumours.
Is Beth Panico Toddy B? Who's Gareth Evans Toddy B? Who knows? Is Toddy B Toddy B?
She wants to know. Well, one day we will know the truth. But she also wants to know, why are all dystopian societies monochromatic and why is there no fat people as outliers in this one? Everyone's a size 2. Good point. I didn't see any big lads, Gareth. And talking about
no Trump monsters.
Yeah. Talking about Streets of Rage, you've got those big lads, Gaz, that come out of nowhere. We didn't see any of them in this episode. So
The Big Ben guys.
Big Ben.
Classic.
They're horrible.
Nobody breathing fire.
Yeah, horrible enemy type. So thanks for that, Beth. Thanks for your thoughts. Next up is Toddy B himself, the mystery man. He says, hey guys, hope all is well during these crazy times. Here's my thoughts. I couldn't help but ask why throughout this episode. things just seem to have this gas seems this thing to happen with little.
Are you kidding me?
No,
is that genuinely what he said?
Yes.
At the start of his. Yes. Do you not remember the start of my review?
Yes. That's what I said, Gareth. Yes, Jesus.
That is mental.
Anyway, Gareth.
That is mental. Maybe I am Todd.
Things just seem to happen with little to no explanation, and we as an audience are supposed to blindly follow. I didn't hate this episode, but again, like so much of season 3, it left me asking, is that it? This show didn't just pique my interest in season 1. I thought it was the most clever show on television. Now we are left with the Fast and Furious dialogue, Michael Bay action, and M. Night Shyamalan plot twists. Not that the twists are bad, but they have to feel earned, and very few did this season. In the end, I'm starting to come to grips with the fact that Westworld asks brilliant questions but doesn't have a damn clue how to answer them. Even the story of season 3, just looking at it on paper, sounds interesting, but the execution was never on par with the potential of the show. I give this episode a 2 blueberry. It was everything I expected it to be, but nowhere near what I wanted. I give the whole season 2 blueberries. Like always, I hope you guys enjoyed it and clue me in on any elements I missed. I know it's a long shot, but please consider covering this show for season 4.
This season?
As fuck much as I've been disappointed...
Do it again.
Yeah.
No.
As much as I have been disappointed in the show, I have truly enjoyed the banter and conversation on the podcast this season. Not only have you informed me on parts of the show I misunderstood, you also gave me some great laughs in the process. I know this is a lot of work for you guys, but it's greatly appreciated. He'll be in touch again and stay safe out there. Oh, some things to dissect there. I think your sentiment there, Todd, is echoed by all of us. The show ultimately disappointed us. It didn't live up. You know, season 1's a five blue season. It's degraded every season, I think. And I think this season's lost a lot of the magic. And although I've enjoyed a lot of the episodes, I feel let down. John feels like he's been... I don't know what the show has done to you, John, but it seems to have destroyed your soul. And you know, Gareth's just a bit met about it. But I think we can all agree that we're a bit disappointed with how it turned out.
Well, I don't know if you
in
are,
terms
yeah.
of covering season 4. Oh, I'm. Look, I said I was disappointed with last season, even though there were some good episodes in there, like Kiksuya. This season, there hasn't even been a Kiksuya episode. You know, for me. So
episode 1 was all right.
Yeah, episode 1 being the highlight of the season. I mean, that's not a good thing. But I'm let down. But as I said, the show's fine. I'm not going to, like John said, I'm not going to write over to people and go, "Oh yeah, go watch Westworld." If people say to me, "Is it worth watching Westworld?" I'm going to say no.
Ooh.
And that's been really honest.
No, there are only 4 blueberry episodes. Don't bother.
Average of a 3. Yeah, but you know, you recommend a Breaking Bad, you recommend even a Game of Thrones, you recommend
Reservoir
all this.
Reservoir Dogs, fuck that. Rubbish.
Nah, sack that off.
It's only as good as Westworld.
In terms of covering, in terms of coming back for season 4, I think we, before we do anything drastic, need to go away and have a chat about what that looks like, and if it's anything like what it looks like this season. Yeah, John, just keep your mouth shtum. No, I think we need to just have a chat about it. And look, who knows? Who knows what we're going to do? There might be another show on at the same time next season that we really want to cover. And until we see the schedules, you know, we can't commit to anything. But hey, never say never. The show might still be covered in some respect, whether John's involved or whether he's not, or whether Gaz's involved or he's not. You know, I will probably be there.
Well, yeah.
So I'll just be talking to myself for an hour.
Hello and welcome to You've Charmed Me, a Westworld anti-Westworld podcast about the series Charmed.
Charmed, yeah.
Today, it's me joined with John, whilst Len is hosting the host of Westworld.
Yeah.
Do them simultaneously, it'd be good.
Yeah, no, but I would like to say thank you for everyone that's written in this season, and thank you for all the crazy Reddit theories, Reddit. It's been a interesting season, to say the least, but we do really appreciate everyone's thoughts and feedback.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry if you send me feedback after this episode's recorded. You can still write to us, and I'll reply via email. It's at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. It'll be in the show notes as well. And just don't forget, Westworld may be over, but we've got loads of stuff out there. Back catalogues, hundreds of episodes on different shows. We've started How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That, which is actually really fun. Worst of Netflix is coming back. We're talking about Lovecraft Country later in the year, covering that. That's going to be good. So we've got things in the works. So please, if you've enjoyed, at least in some respects, some of the Westworld coverage, then do check out the rest of our stuff. Thanks, guys. Back to John and Little John in the studio.
Hello there. This has been very dangerous.
It's very difficult to try and do that word.
Oh, it's French, Little John.
Yeah, like a French Robin Hood. Oh, yeah, so that's it. That brings us to a close. Thank fuck for that. I mean, typically I'd say send us some feedback at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com, but Len, you've covered that. Getting quite a lot of feedback on Twitter. Yep. Continue to do so at fancriticalpod. And of course, if you like the banter, but you don't like Westworld and you want us to talk about other stuff, go over to patreon.com/fancritical, send us some dollary dues, and we'll talk about what you want us to cover. But other than that, Len, thank you for your Westworld wanderings. It's probably been the highlight of doing this diabolical show. Gaz, thanks for being honest. It's nice to do this pod with someone that actually says what they feel and doesn't just pretend to like episodes because they think they can get told off.
I
actually loved it. I've just been pretending to hate it so that you'd like me.
Well, that hasn't worked, unfortunately. But look, you know, thanks, guys. We will be back for other TV series and films. But for now, peace out and stay safe. Goodbye.
Stay safe.
Stay safe, everyone. Bye. Bye, Little John.
Bye. 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 Bye.